Tonight's subject matter has been entitled, His Last Days, The Last Days. So Jesus is now on his third day entering into Jerusalem just prior to his crucifixion and just teaching, rich teaching, teaching on faith, teaching on the kingdom. And now here we are in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. He's going to answer some questions that his disciples are going to present to him. And then Jesus went out, he departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as they sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" So there are the questions that they ask him. So they're in the city, and the disciples are proud of their community, and so they're showing him some of the most outstanding buildings, and Jesus shares with them, you know, that these buildings that you see that you're so proud of, you know, are not always going to be in this condition. And they're wondering, as all of us would, because they're still naive to what's going to happen a couple days from now. And they're thinking Jesus is coming in, as we stated on Sunday, and he's going to rule and reign. He's going to establish his kingdom. He's going to overthrow the government. So they're concerned. Now, this decimation of our city, does it happen pretty soon? Does it happen, you know, years down the road? Can you give us a little bit more understanding about this? Because we're very proud of it. When are our enemies going to come in and build embankments against us? And when are all these buildings going to be rubble? Because in their mind, that can't happen because you're going to be king and you're going to make all wrongs right and you're going to get rid of the corrupt government and the overtaxation and all of the injustices that we face as your covenant people. And so when and how is this going to happen? And what is the sign of all of these things in the end of the age? Now, here's Jesus' response to them. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So he begins by giving them some really good instruction that, you know, don't get carried away with false teachers and with those that are claiming to be me. All of that is going to happen, but that's not the end of everything yet. So he says, you're going to walk through a season where you're going to have discernment in order to overcome temptation, because a false Christ looks like the real Christ, except for he's false. And the only way you know that he's false is you know the real Christ. So the great illustration and that I can share that always reminds me that the only way to distinguish between something that is real and something that is counterfeit is if you handle that which is real. So every bank teller, when they're being trained, are given authentic, real currency, and they get a feel for that tender or that paper. And then in the course of their training, their supervisors will slip in a counterfeit $20 or $50 or $100 bill, and they want to see if the teller can distinguish the difference between what's real and what's false. And the more you handle and the more that you're familiar and are acquainted with and connected to that which is true, then when the false shows up, you can identify it. Because you've been experiencing that which is life-giving and that which is nurturing and that which is true. And so when someone comes along and says, "I am the authentic, I'm the genuine article, and follow me," which is what the Antichrist is going to be communicating, "follow me," you're going to say, no, "I'm following Jesus, and the voice of a stranger I won't follow." And he goes on and he says in verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Now there's five signs that he's already given unto them, and he identifies them as what? The origins or the beginning of sorrows. Well, what does that mean, beginning of sorrows? When you think about sorrow, you think about many times grief or loss. And so Jesus, knowing what is before him, is preparing his disciples for his departure. And he will depart, but he will leave. But the Holy Spirit now can come, because as Jesus goes, the Holy Spirit comes. But the disciples and everyone who is walking through this season where these signs are taking place, their hearts are heavy and they're grieving and they're sorrowful, which means they long for something better. If your heart is heavy and you're sorrowful, you're sad, you long for something better. So he said, this is the beginning of sorrows, meaning that in the last days, there's going to be some challenging, sorrowful times. He goes on and he tells them in verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and they'll kill you, and you'll be hated by all nation for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to, now he talks about it, the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And notice this, and then the end will come. So in the midst of Jesus answering their questions, he says, let me bookend it this way. It's going to begin and there's going to be things that happen. And you didn't imagine it was going to happen that way, but it's really going to happen that way. And you're going to be saddened, but it's going to end all of this and all of these end time events and the signs of my coming are going to end when you have fulfilled what you are supposed to fulfill. Now, they're not quite sure what they're to do yet because Jesus hasn't been crucified or resurrected. But after the resurrection, they'll understand the significance of them going into all the world and preaching the gospel, because until that is done, he can't come. And that's why the early church was so active in evangelism and outreach and missional work, is because this was really something that they took to heart. Like, if we want the Lord to return, then we have to get the word out and we have to get the message to all the people groups in the world. And the church today needs to be awakened to that truth and the responsibility of helping to fulfill the Great Commission. So Jesus is saying this is how it's going to start, but then the end of all things is when this assignment, the Great Commission, has been completed, and that will be the end of this age. So let's take a look at our notes for a minute, because when Jesus is talking about the last days, he's aware of his last days also. And isn't that somewhat prophetic and profound, that during his last hours on earth, he was gracious enough to answer the disciples' questions, to take time and be specific with them, and to give them instruction so that they would understand what was going on. And he was so personal in this way. And I just, once again, am humbled by our Savior and how gracious he was. So I've written in your notes that the first five signs were described as the beginning of sorrows. The next four were described generalized, a turning of humanity against each other. And the last three described the cultural result of the turning of humanity against each other. So we see something that we can't ignore when we read the scripture, in that history tells a story that there have been many people who have claimed to be Christ and they're not, correct? There have been a lot of natural disasters and storms, and yet the end hasn't come yet. There has been the betrayal of one another and people hating one another and turning on one another. And history tells us of those stories. From 1800 through 1970, 9, there's an average of 4 wars a year globally. But from 79 to where we are in 2024, it's now at 6 global conflicts a year. Some aren't long-term and some are long-standing. What Jesus, I believe, is implying to us when he talks about the signs of the time and the end of the age is that these will all be taking place at once. Not just here and there, but globally, there's going to be an uprising of false teachers, prophets, messiahs. There's going to be an increase in natural catastrophes, and there's going to be more hatred and betrayal than the world has ever seen. It just won't be isolated to a certain people group. It will be identifiable in all nations. I believe that that is why we are really close to the coming of the Lord. The peace that is still left in place for us to do is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. This gospel has to be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. Now, there are terrific ministries that are doing Bible translation work. We can talk about that and the laborious work that it is to translate Scripture into an unknown tongue. And they're working very hard at it. Wycliffe Bible Translators is a good example of that. But they still say that there are still hundreds of languages where people don't have Scripture, so they continue to work towards that end. That's why missional work, evangelism, sharing our faith is so important, because it's part of the fulfillment of what has to take place before the end comes. And that is why Jesus goes forward in this teaching and says, no one knows the day or the hour. It's all dependent on our obedience. The Lord has done everything that he can and that he will do to guarantee that he is with us and that he will always be with us. And he has given us all that we need for life and godliness. Now it's time for us to take what he's given unto us and to go and to use what he's given unto us, the knowledge, the testimonies, the presence, the power of God, and to witness and to minister to those who don't know Christ. It's still what is keeping him from coming, what is yet to be fulfilled. We know what it is. And so we all have to consider what's my part and what's my role in getting the gospel message out. And God will enlighten each of us to that. So I gave you 12 signs that are there, and you can read that on your own. And then let's skip down to the second point. It says, Jesus told, and this would be on the back half of your paper, Jesus told what will happen when all 12 of these signs are seen. And these are the portions of the message that I won't get into specifically, but I pray that you continue to read Matthew chapter 24. But let's just highlight these bullet points. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world by the church. The abomination of desolation spoken about by Daniel will conquer Israel and stand in the holy place of Jerusalem. This is speaking of the Antichrist. The Jewish people will flee. There's going to be a great departure. A time of great tribulation like never before in humanity's history will take place. After that tribulation, Christ will return to earth as described in Daniel's prophecy and also in the book of Revelation. And then last, the remnant of Jews waiting for the Messiah will be rescued, and the rest will be carried away like those who perish in the flood. And that's why he likens those days to the days of Noah. And then Jesus gave us direction and a warning to believers in the future. He admonished us to watch, to be ready, to remain faithful in our work. And he warned us about those that were unbelievers who will deny the second coming of the Lord because they don't acknowledge the first coming of the Lord. So those people won't be rescued, but will face judgment and he talks about that judgment in Matthew's gospel in the 25th chapter. It's the very last portion of this teaching that Jesus gave. Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46, he talks about the judgment of the nations. And that's the very conclusion of what I've given unto you. So just some things for each and every one of us to ponder and consider that, you know, here we are. How many of these signs are evident in the world that we live in right now? We would say all 12. Are the natural catastrophes happening at a greater, are they being expedited? There's more of them. Yes, there really are more, and they're more devastating. Primarily because they're greater in intensity, but there's also more people that they're impacting because we've never had this many people living in history. This is the most people that have ever occupied this planet in the history of the earth. And so that's why it's more devastating, because it's reaching and impacting more people and more nations and doing more harm than ever before. Used to be that if there was certain natural catastrophes in certain remote places of the earth, then people may not even know about it. But there's very few remote places of the earth left anymore. Most places are occupied. And so these are things that we need to be aware of. And we also need to take to heart that, hey, we're here and he's with us, and we can do what he said we can do. We can do it because he's given us his Spirit. And when people are facing times of loss and sorrow, and we have a message of life and of salvation and of peace with God that we can share with them, when people are being misdirected and there's conflict, we have a message, and we're called to be ministers of reconciliation. So there's, you know, in the midst of all of the things that are unfortunate and are heartbreaking, here we are as the church, as the light and the salt of the earth, with a message that contradicts all the sorrow and all the loss and all the pain. And that's what God wants us to get busy doing, is sharing the good news, is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And so that's something that all of us are capable of doing, because all of us are his children and have a ministry of reconciliation.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged or inspired you to God's best. If you have any questions about today's message, need prayer, or would like to learn more about Living Word Fellowship, please call 641-828-7119 or visit us at lwfknoxville.com.